Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, fact or fiction? Is the Vatican part of a plot to convert the Muslim world? The General Secretary of the World Council of Churches wonders if the Arab media is partly to blame for distrust and violence towards Christians in the Middle East. And ecotourism, an ethical choice. The Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerant People calls on tourists to be conscious of their environmental footprint. The way Christianity is portrayed in Arab media may be partly behind a rise in violence and Muslim distrust of Christians in the region. That, according to the head of the World Council of Churches. The WCC represents the broadest ecumenical movement of Protestant and independent churches, representing more than 560 million Christians, including most of the world's Orthodox churches. Though it is not a member, the Catholic Church participates in a number of joint working committees and projects with the WCC. General Secretary of the WCC, Dr. Samuel Kobia, expressed his concern about the portrayal of Christian churches in Arab media in an interview with Vatican Radio upon his return from a June visit to Egypt. Kobia blames the war in Iraq for giving many Christians a bad name in the Arab world. It seems the strong condemnation of the war by Pope John Paul II and the leaders of other Christian churches before and during the war did not always reach the ear of the ordinary Muslim on the street. Nor, it seems, did the outrage and disgust of Christian religious leaders trickle down through the Arab media to the average Muslim when a Danish cartoonist depicted the Prophet Muhammad as a terrorist. In this thought-provoking interview, Dr. Kobia urges Christian churches to cooperate together to create a joint communication strategy in their approach to the Arab Muslim world, to counter misconceptions and what he describes as clear and perhaps deliberate disinformation about the local Christian communities and Christians in general. While the process has not always been successful, Christian churches have for decades worked towards greater unity through ecumenical dialogue. Kobia points to a need for Islam's different communities to create similar structures to permit an intra-Muslim dialogue within Islam itself. Kobia also urges Christians and Muslims involved in interfaith dialogue to openly address their suspicions over conversion from one faith to another. He was particularly alarmed when a journalist from a well-known Arab satellite network asked him to verify a news report that the WCC and the Vatican were plotting to convert the Muslim world.
I had an interview with Al Jazeera, and one of the questions that the interviewer made was that the World Council of Churches, working together with the Roman Catholic Church, have a very grand project of converting Muslims into Christianity, and that we have set aside billions of dollars for this purpose. And this came about because I was told that there is an organization in Iran which has a website that has this information which the journalist from Al Jazeera was quoting. I must say I was shocked to hear this, and I had to correct this disinformation, as I would call it, and therefore coupled with the idea that the war on Iraq was a Christian was a war waged by Christians, and part of which is to dominate the Middle East as Christians, and now you have this other disinformation that the World Council of Churches working with the Roman Catholic Church, and you see the implication of this is that the entire Christendom is trying to aggressively convert Muslims, while at the same time we are talking of respect for other religions and interreligious dialogue and cooperation. So to me, besides addressing the constituency of WCC in the Middle East, I also had the intention of now talking directly to the Muslim leaders, and hopefully we'll be able to talk with the ordinary Muslims so that they can understand and they can hear directly from us in the World Council of Churches what our intention is, what our programs are, and what really our goal is. I think we have a lot of work to do as Christians in order to correct the misperceptions that exist and persist in the Middle East, particularly among the Muslim community.
So do you think it was a deliberate attack against the WCC and the Catholic Church?
Of course, I will have to wait to have more details about this particular organization, whose name I don't even now remember immediately. But I think it is deliberate. And I think it's being run by some extremists. That is why I would say that when I talk with the mainline leadership in the Muslim world, I don't get the impression that they have a misunderstanding about the intentions of WCC or even of the Catholic Church. But there are those other extremists who clearly pick up on a few things, and one of the questions that came up again and again for me was what we were saying about the Danish cartoonists who portrayed Mohammed as a terrorist, and the Dutch MP who has come up with this film, Fitna. And I think these are being picked up by those groups that want to mislead the Muslim world about what Christianity, what the intentions of Christians are in the world.
Though they were published back in September 2005, the Danish cartoons and subsequent stories like them continue to throw a shadow of distrust over Christians living in the Middle East, and sometimes the distrust turns violent. In May, Coptic Christian monks were violently attacked in their monastery in Malawi province in Egypt. And while the Coptic community has lived relatively peacefully side by side with Muslims in Egypt for centuries, they faced an increasing number of sporadic attacks. In June, hundreds of Muslims attacked Christian homes and businesses in Al-Nazia, about 100 kilometers south of Cairo, over a rumor that Christians had kidnapped a young woman who had converted to Islam to marry a Muslim. The rumor proved to be false.
When we see what happened at the monastery in Malawi province, in Upper Egypt, and I was, in fact, very concerned about that because Pope Shenounda, with whom I had to meet, is in the United States now, where he has undergone treatment, and his health deteriorated, as I was informed, when this conflict flared up. And I think that clearly affected his health. I even went to hospital to visit the monks who had been attacked and were in hospital, one of whom had very badly beaten up and was recovering. I think we are likely to see these kind of attacks increase in number unless we are able between leaders of Christianity and Islam in the Middle East, we are able to communicate to the ordinary people in order for them to understand that there is a better understanding and cooperation between Christians and Muslims.
Well, you say a better understanding with the common people. That would seem to me is going to be done through the media. Did the Arab media pick up, for example, on the widespread condemnation of the war in Iraq by leaders of the Christian churches, including the Pope back then in 2003? That message, did it get across that Christianity has nothing to do with war? Christianity is a religion of peace.
Yes, unfortunately, that message doesn't seem to have really fully understood even by the mainstream media. I had on a number of occasions when I had the opportunity to do so, I had to remind them what the position of the WCC was on Iraq war and what the position of the Catholic Church, including that of the Pope, was. And I even quoted to them what the Pope had said about the war and what we had said about the war. And I would say that when they hear us talking like that, I think they then begin to say, yes, we actually do remember that you had opposed the war, but it seems like the voices that are accusing Christians in general as being part of what led to that war is still there.
And here we are 5 years on after the war, the beginning of the war in Iraq. Did we see any of this sort of violence against the Christian community before 2001 and the September 11th attacks in the U.S. that, of course, led eventually to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Not to the same level, really. I must say that now, having had these two visits to the Middle East, I am convinced that we still have a way to go before what we say is fully accepted even by the mainstream media and the leadership in the Arab world, particularly. And this is where I would want us to find really a way of communicating to the media there. Now, on my delegation, both to Syria and Lebanon the previous time, and on this visit to Egypt, was the General Secretary of the Middle East Council of Churches, Dr. Girgis Saleh. I have told him that we really need to work together with them, and especially because the Middle East Council of Churches has membership of all the main families, which includes the Catholic Church, and therefore I think we could be more effective if we were to work very closely with the Middle East Council of Churches. My concern is that the Middle East Council of Churches doesn't seem to have picked this issue in depth, and therefore they haven't been doing much of correcting the impressions that are created, and I'm happy that they agreed that we need to work together, and I would see a need for communications strategy as far as we are concerned in the WCC within our Middle East program that I have said is now getting very, very great attention, also myself as General Secretary.
You know, this whole conversation is very interesting when you look at it from the other side. The Muslims in Europe and the United States accuse the media in Western countries of portraying Islam as a violent religion. So we're seeing it now on the other side as the Christians being portrayed as being responsible for the war. It sounds like the media is really at the heart of this too, creating distrust.
It is true, and this is why I feel that we really need to have a way of addressing the media ourselves and directly. And it is for this reason that I had an interview with Al Jazeera, because I think Al Jazeera is now a leader in setting the public agenda, if you will, in the Middle East, in the Arab world, and they need to hear what we have to say ourselves as Christians directly. And I hope that from this visit, at least as far as WCC is concerned, we will continue to speak very directly to the leadership and to the media in the Middle East and in the Arab world, because I think really where the problem is. I think Muslims in other parts of the world don't seem to accuse the Christians as having been behind the Iraq war, and to some extent also Afghanistan, if I may say so. And therefore, I would like us to be able to address this issue. Now, having said that, let me also say that I would want very much, especially from this visit, for the WCC communications and the Vatican and the Catholic Church communications people to begin to talk about what we could do together. Because when you are there, they see you as representing Christians. So I think it's important for us to find a way of coming up with a good communications strategy of communicating truthfully and effectively to the Arab world and the Muslim world.
You know, I wonder, in speaking with you here, if some of the confusion over the conversion issue that the Vatican and the WCC are bent on converting everybody to Christianity. I know that the World Council of Churches and the Vatican are planning a set of common guidelines on evangelization, how their missionaries and people out there should be evangelizing today. Do you think that could have been behind some of the confusion in this issue? And how do you strike a balance between what is, in effect, the Christian mission to evangelize, but at the same time, you don't want to step on anyone's toes?
Correctly. And it is true that there has been a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation of what is behind the Catholic Church and the WCC joint initiative on guidelines on conversion. I think this has been understood in some Muslim circles as coming up with a strategy for converting, and as they say, especially Muslims. Whereas, in fact, what we are trying to do with this project is to come up with the guidelines that will have to address the issue of proselytism and the issue of evangelization and the need for respecting the difference and having ways of ensuring that the work that we do in evangelization and the mission work does not contradict what we say when we talk of interreligious dialogue, for example. And I did actually refer in one of my conversations, and I think it was with the Minister of Religious Affairs in Egypt, that in fact WCC and the Vatican are working on guidelines on conversion, and that we would want, in fact, to inform the Muslim world what actually this means so that they don't misinterpret this as a renewed enthusiasm on the part of Christianity, as they put it, to convert the Muslims.
Rather, you would like to reassure them that it's a guidelines to make sure that Christian churches do not go out zealously trying to convert every single Muslim.
Exactly. In fact, this is what it is all about. And there are those who also interpret, or I would say want to misinterpret, what we, when we talk of dialogue between Christianity and Islam, as just a way, and therefore they say, yes, you want to talk us with us on the one hand, while on the other hand, you are developing a very aggressive program of converting Christians. But I have also mentioned to the Muslim leaders that we also have been informed that the Muslims have got a grand program of Islamization of Africa, for example. And I have mentioned this during also my visit to Sudan in last April. And I say we need to talk to each other because we might be misunderstanding your intentions, as indeed you Muslims are misunderstanding our intentions. So I think there is certainly need for another level of dialogue between Christians and Muslims that will help both sides to have a better understanding of each other.
Let me ask you one last question. You were talking about the interfaith dialogue. In recent months, we have seen a series of initiatives by Muslim leaders and Islamic scholars directed at increasing this dialogue. What seems to me that to make these new initiatives very interesting is that Muslim heads of state are also coming to the table this time. Do you think that this will make a difference to the outcome of future dialogue?
Yes, I think so, really. And I must say that in the World Council of Churches, we very much welcomed the initiative that has been taken by the 138 Muslim scholars and clerics who sent out their letter last October to a long list of Christian leaders, starting with His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI, and also included in the addressees was the WCC General Secretary. I welcomed that initiative because I think it takes us to another level of dialogue where Muslims talking of a common word between us and talking of love of God and love of neighbor as that which is common among us. I think this was welcome because for a long time it's the Christians who were reaching out to the Muslims for dialogue. Now we see Muslims taking the initiative in the way they have done. The second initiative that I have also welcomed is that which has been taken by King of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah II, where he is advocating for dialogue of the Abrahamic religions. Again, this is an initiative they have taken, which I think is good. I also feel that it's important for Muslims now, when they are doing this, to have an intra-Muslim dialogue between themselves. Because I think now several initiatives are being taken in parallel to each other. I would say the same thing for us Christians, intra-Christian dialogue on how we dialogue with people of other faiths. I think unless we do this, we might find that there will be some confusion about these initiatives. But I would say that it's a very welcome thing to see Muslims taking up the initiative to advance the dialogue. And as I have said, I would like to see dialogue and a cooperation in the real contextual situations where people are living together in an interfaith community, because unless we reach to the people, the ordinary people, we might have a dialogue between leaders going very well, but not translating into a harmonious living between the ordinary Christians and Muslims and the Jews and others.
Dr. Samuel Kobia there is General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. Walk, don't drive. Eat local produce and support the local market. Choose bio-friendly hotels and take less luggage along to save gas. And while you're at it, why not plant a tree to combat carbon emissions? Well, these are some of the ideas the Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerant People is promoting for ethically conscious tourism. Each year, the church celebrates a World Day for Tourism, which this year falls on Saturday, September 27th. More than 900 million people travel abroad on vacation every year, and that figure is expected to rise as high as 1.5 billion over the next decade or so. Most people travel by plane, boat, or car at significant cost to the environment. Well, in 2007, continuing its commitment to maintaining God's creation, Vatican City became the first sovereign state to offset its own harmful carbon emissions by creating a forest on Vatican-owned land in Hungary. Plans are also underway to install solar panels across Vatican City to furnish the small state with a quantity of daily clean energy equal to a considerable part of its total consumption. Well, looking ahead to World Tourism Day celebrations this September, the Council for Migrants has issued a message reflecting on the difficult ecological future our planet faces from climate change, deforestation, and global warming. Chris Altieri takes a look.
Titled Tourism, Responding to the Challenge of Climate Change, the message notes that the tourism industry generates large amounts of pollution and greenhouse gases and says humanity's common task is to recreate harmony to the extent possible after original sin and help the planet follow its life cycle. Noting that the Vatican is the first sovereign state to eliminate its carbon footprint, the message goes on to say every human being, and even more so Christians, should respond to the notion of a sustainable planet. The message continues, saying all tourists, as well as the entire international community, should therefore comply with and encourage a green culture that respects the environment, characterized especially for us Christians by ethical as well as moral values. Invoking the image in the book of Genesis where God appoints man as a steward of the earth so that it may bear fruit, the message goes on to say when man forgets to be a faithful servant both of God and the earth rebels and becomes a desert that threatens survival. Therefore, strong bonds must be created between generations so that a future is possible. The Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerant People calls for the development of a joyous austerity to be achieved by opting for things that are not transitory and perishable. The Council's message also calls for the fostering of charity towards the earth, disarming the logic of death, and encouraging love for this precious space that belongs to us all.
And thanks there to Chris Altieri for that report. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.